Call me to order. I'd like to welcome you to the July 21, 2023 meeting of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board, and invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America.
Thank you. Now do the roll call of board members and board staff.
Okay, for board members, we have Gary Bagley.
Here.
Marshall Knox.
Present.
Nick Goodman.
Virtually here.
Tracy Mayfield.
Here.
Brandon McFadden.
Present.
And then we have Brandy Flores, Trista Guzman-Glover, and Chase Turrentine that are absent. For board staff, we have Frank Magali.
Present.
Kelly Shepard.
Present.
Bruce Bueno.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Heather Santabria, myself, present. Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Keegan McConnell.
Present.
Alessandra Hill.
Present.
Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
Darnay Griffin.
I'm here.
Amelia Heredia is outside. She is the one checking everybody in. And then we have Carlos Terrazas, who is our legal assistant behind us up over there. For legal counsel, we have Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General.
Good morning. Present.
And then Mark Harris, our independent advisor.
Present. Wonderful. We appreciate you all being involved and being where we need you to today. Next item up is board business, and make you aware that we may vote to go into an executive session to discuss personnel matters pursuant to ARS 38-431.03 to obtain legal advice pursuant, or also to pertain to get legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A and 3. Next two items up are discussion consideration of a approval of the board minutes from the May and the June meeting. I understand that we don't have enough forums to be able to do that. So we will unfortunately roll that forward until August.
Just to clear members of the board, you are correct. We do not have the right combination of board members here to approve the minutes for May or June. However, I do want to be transparent with the public that the recordings of those meetings are available on our webpage already. There is a statutory requirement that those recordings go on the webpage within 3 business days. We adhere to that regularly. So if somebody needs something from a public meeting, that information is there and available.
And you are all welcome to listen to us and help you go to sleep at night. Next item up is conflicts of interest among the board members. Does any board member have a conflict of interest based on today's agenda? Seeing no documentation and hear no response, question, we have no conflict of interest. Next item up is B, welcome to visiting Barber and Cosmetology students and instructors. I recognize that we have instructors out here today. Would you like to tell us what schools you're from?
I'm Amy Blackman from Gateway Community College.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate you guys supporting us and being here today. We'll move now to the Executive Director report.
Good morning, everybody. As I have started doing, I would like to start with some good news and announcements and or recognition. I know for the last several months we have been talking about that establishment licensing and that although we were better than we were when I arrived here 15 months ago, we were still not meeting the 14-day target that the leadership team had set for that work. I reported to the board last month that we were I had actively problem solved earlier in that week and came to some ideas and conclusions, and I am extremely happy to report to you today that we are at the point now where not only did we catch up on that backlog, I checked when I arrived at the office at 6:45 this morning, and we are actually at a point as of today where we are processing those establishment applications same day. So those individuals who said there were 6 who submitted an application yesterday for an establishment, they were either licensed or communicated with yesterday. So same day turnaround on establishment licensing right now. We are very excited about this. They are now the establishment. Applications are now fully in the new licensing process by where you do your application and payment all in one and moves it forward. It has allowed us, that process change has now made it so that we can meet those targets that we have set. So we are very excited to report that today. I do want to be clear in that that's really a processing timeline. We are still at about a 50% incomplete application rate, and that now is solely because the applicants are not completing their Secretary of State requirement, trade name requirement, prior to submitting their application. So we continue to struggle with that, but those completed applications are, in fact, being processed the same day at this point.
Put a question on the website.
We did, or we need to?
No, the Secretary of State.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. On the application process, one of the other the items that we changed in theme that we continue to see this 50% and unfortunately hasn't moved the needle as much as we had hoped, we did add a question at the beginning of the electronic application process that stated, have you done your Secretary of State trade name registration, yes or no? If they select yes, it allows them to move on in the application. If they say no, it brings up a statement of what you would need to do. Go to the Secretary of State's webpage, submit it, et cetera. Everybody's pressing yes at this point. So we continue to see a 50% incomplete rate on that. I'm also very excited to report that last Thursday, just a week ago, we conducted our first school licensee town hall that goes to my vision of a renewed partnership with our school licensees. And we had about 70 participants in that first town hall. We discussed a number of items, some of the legislative changes that are coming up that we're working on the Arizona Administrative Code, and we actually spent a solid 50 minutes in a Q&A session with licensees and their just answering their questions. We did ask them to limit it to two, and they were pretty good about that, and we ran through that time in the town hall. We do have a few, we had about a handful of questions that we have committed to following up that we were unable to answer in the session, but that we committed to following up on by the close of business next Tuesday. We did send out an evaluation of that session, and unfortunately, although we had 70 participants at this point, we've only received three evaluations at this point, though all three of those evaluations were very positive in their feedback and that this organization has opened themselves up to transparency and that we were candid in a number of items that we discussed that morning. So we're very excited about that. The third item that is of great news and it's super exciting in my opinion is that we have five cases from 2022 remaining. So we have been processing processing cases before the board for a very lengthy period of time, and I'm really excited to share that those last five cases are on your agenda today. So we will be current calendar year on processing cases moving forward. We're actively trying to determine what a quality and timely turnaround time on that is. I, of course, want to say 30 days. Rosa says, no, absolutely not. So we're going to really utilize the process, which I believe is correct and accurate, but we want to use that process to find what the right timeline is on those items. How long from the time, in the example of an investigation, or excuse me, a complaint being submitted, is it assigned to an investigator? Is the investigation conducted? And then it's turned around and heard before the board. So I think it's going to land in a 90 or 120-day category, but we are actively pursuing what that is. Again, the good news for today is that we are going to, after this morning's meeting, we will be in current year cases moving forward. I think that's good news in and of itself, but I think on top of that is that coincides when a lot of our licensing process changes occurred, which means that we shouldn't be hearing from respondents anymore that they applied for their application and never heard anything or it wasn't processed. That should no longer be an objective response to cases that come before this board. So please keep that in mind as we move forward. And then my final point is we were able to get all school licensee renewals completed by on July 11th last week. So just, you know, 11 days after, and there was even a holiday in there. So I'm pretty proud of the team for really buckling down and getting those school renewals done this year. They do have a couple of board membership updates. Obviously, board members, you were introduced to board member or licensed board member Brandon McFadden. Brandon, please let me be the first to welcome you publicly to the board. We're very excited. Brandon is the eighth member of the board. We have one remaining open position at this point as a public member. I understand from the governor's office of boards and commissions that we should expect and they plan to have that final public member position appointed by the end of summer. I think we all probably have differing definitions of what end of summer is. I actually, even though it's hot as you know what outside, I'm at end of summer. My kids go back to school in a week. I'm on the same path there. So I don't know if they're going with like the traditional season of summer in September. So I'm expecting over the next month or two in my mind that we will have that final board member appointed. This next one I have to share with you is a tough one for me because we are saying farewell. This is our Attorney General Mona Baskin's last meeting with us. And so I have to say a couple of words about Mona. Mona was the first, I won't say she was the first person I saw when I came into the office the Friday before I started, but she has been by my side, by Kelly's side, by this team's side for the last 15 months since I arrived here. Her commitment and dedication to this organization has been unwavering, not just the last 15 months that I have been here, but for I think you've supported this organization the last 3 years, mm-hmm. and you may have even had a stint with either the Barber Board or the Cosmetology Board prior to that time. So this is a tough one for us. It's very hard to say goodbye to Mona. Mona, I would like to publicly thank you and give you our appreciation for your support for us. And as a small token of our association from the leadership team, these flowers are for you.
Thank you.
And so I'll just
okay. Well, now you know I have something to say. And I would just like to express to this board what an honor it has been to work with you all. And I have Mr. McFadden here today, and I have Mr. Goodman. I wish you were here in person, but this has been a wonderful professional experience for me. And I want to recognize Frank Magali because he is a transformative and amazing leader. And it has just been, this has been the board. Well, I like all my boards, but Mr. Harris can join in and say, I love them. I have a meeting. I love them. So it has just been a great opportunity professionally. There are a few people, I know you're not supposed to have favorite children, but I just want to recognize, and I'm going to get choked up maybe, Ms. Rodriguez. She's a rock star. She's a rocky star. And all of my investigators, they're amazing. We had a meeting yesterday, and they had a lot of questions for me, and I want to tell you, they're asking questions that should be on law school exams. They are doing a fabulous job. And then I don't want to forget to mention Mr. Brain and the barbering staff because it has been a seamless integration of the barbering with the Cosmo. And he's a fabulous leader, a wonderful person. I worked with the barber board before with Mr. Knox. And, you know, they certainly have a special place. So I thank you all.
All right, thank you. So with that comes some additional staffing updates. I know we introduced again Carlos Terrazas. Carlos has joined us since the last board meeting in June, and he is actually working side by side with Rosa. As you all can imagine, through these legal processes that we do with consent agreements and motions, there's a lot of paperwork involved with that. Kelly recognized a need earlier this year to provide that additional support within the organization. We are seeing a significant spike in complaints being submitted to the organization. I think that comes out of the fact that we're processing things more efficiently. We're communicating. We're out in the, we are in what I assume to be better light within the public. And so there just wasn't existing capacity within the compliance team to move that work forward. So we did post, and Carlos has joined us in the last month, and he really hit the ground running. And I'd like to welcome him publicly to the team as well. I would also, before going back, respect Mona. I didn't pay her to say that to you all about me, so you know. So with Mona's departure, obviously comes, or farewell, I don't like the word departure, but Mona's farewell, will be a new assistant attorney general. Unfortunately, he was not able to join us this morning. He had a prior commitment. However, Kelly and I will be meeting with him next week and quickly getting him brought up to speed. His name is Seamus Moynihan. I'm excited. I believe he had a prior interaction with the Barber Board. I'm hearing very good things about his legal work, if you will. So I think we're going to, as we meet with him moving forward, we'll continue to work with Mona. I actually have a number of questions, but it was board week and we don't do anything but board on board week about transition of a number of items and what that looks like. But I'm confident that Mona is not just going to drop everything in our laps and Seamus's laps and move forward. We will effectively close some things out. So we may see Mona a little bit here and there as we close a number of items out, but our official AAG will be Seamus Moynihan. Basically after today, I think was my understanding. So I'm moving on with that to our testing data. We had 685 candidates that tested on the written practical in the month of June. We had an 80% passing rate. At this point, we had, or I should say, as of July 10th, we had 701 candidates scheduled date to test. Those dates ranged from July 10th to November 20th. 370 of those were written practicals. Of that, two were Cosmo, one Aesthetics, two Nail Techs, and the written practical examination in the Spanish language. That was something we launched at the end of May, and I'm watching the data to see what that demand ultimately ended up being. I will be completely transparent. We had a conversation last week with PCS and Prometric on this. He said, oh, there's always tons of verbal demand for these things, but when you really get down to the numbers of it, they see this across the country on these language issues. So he said he wouldn't expect that we would suddenly see 25% of our test takers doing it in Spanish. So that is with that. I think for the public, it's very important for the public and those applicants to know that they have to register for the Spanish test. They cannot just register for a test and show up at the testing site and expect to take a Spanish test. You have to register to take the Spanish test. We've had a few of those instances already where people brought concerns to us that they got showed up at the testing center and were unable to take their test in Spanish. Well, turns out it was because they registered for the English exam. We're working on, PCS is working on clarifying some of that language in their student handbooks, and we'll keep moving that forward. Again, of the 701, there are 331 theory exams, also scheduled during that same period of time. I am super excited, as I already shared with you all. We are green on all of our licensing functions at this point. We are getting down to a point where we are same day turnaround on a number of on almost everything at this point. The check and money order return item, that is really it's not a licensing function necessarily. It's a mail function. It's an administrative function, and the way it works, I've learned particularly over the last 2 months, is that's really always going to be at 5 days. It takes 5 days to turn that stuff around. It's so a a 5-day target probably isn't necessarily appropriate, but I do want to clarify it's also not a licensing function necessarily. So we're doing great on all of those functions. Now that we have gotten to that current state and my desired outcome for these licensing functions, now we're talking about how do we keep it that way? How do we not split moving into the future? So we're really talking about having sustainability conversations, making sure that the process is working, making sure that we're communicating with those applicants, all of those things. But again, overall, green on all licensing functions this month.
And I'm going to add, because Frank's used to me interrupting, that just, again, the clarification that as long as we have all of the complete documentation. So we do still have a delay. If we are not receiving all of the documentation and we are working with people to help them understand what it is that we're looking for, there's a lot of confusion around people registering with the Arizona Corporation Commission and that Secretary of State. They think Arizona Corporation Commission is Secretary of State. So that's part of the confusion. But again, these numbers are absolutely great. As long as we have all the complete documentation, our next step is to work to make sure people understand what it is that we're looking for.
All right. Thank you. Next up is that 2022 establishment backlog. Darnay, the infamous and famous Darnay, I think he decided to join virtually this morning because he was so uncomfortable about how much we were praising him last month. He continues to make great progress on this project. The overall project is now 63% complete. That's up from 50% last month. We continue to issue. We continue to communicate. I was just so happened to be in this inbox yesterday looking at some of the progress and some of these types of things, and this data is actually already quote-unquote obsolete because a number of people have chosen to not continue the process or have completed the process. So really doing great work here. Again, 63%. I don't anticipate, again, for clarity on this, I don't ever think this will be a 100% project. This is probably going to be an 80% project, just because it is such old information at this point. And there are many cases where those people were licensed under a different establishment name and some of those things. But I think what's important is we have given those applicants the opportunity to complete and cure their applications. That was what the objective in this was. We continue to see significant call volume within this organization. We had done, again, it's down from when I started, but people still call the organization. And because of that, because of summer vacation schedules, because of an increased call volume for the month of June, we are yellow here, in that we were at a 10.5 minute wait time, where our target is 8 minutes. And I also, again, just want to clarify before Kelly interrupts me, that, it's an average of 10.5 minutes. If you call at lunchtime at noon, your wait time is going to be 20 or 30 minutes. So our recommendation is that you not call during lunchtime. And also that's an average, and also that is still significantly better than it was a year ago. So it's just a matter of how do we get that right balance. Strategically, I'm looking at a 10-minute total time, and that's a 7 to 8 minute wait time and a 2 to 3 minute handle time, meaning that's how long that person spends on the phone with the customer service rep. So that's strategically long-term what I'm trying to drive to. And there's a number of metrics involved with that. There's one more point I was going to make here, and of course I didn't write it down, so I forgot it. The email inbox, in addition to the phone calls, we did take 512 inquiries into our general email inbox. All of those for the month of June were responded to within less than 24 business hours. This month, our Isabella is on vacation for 2.5 weeks, and so guess who's responsible for that inbox? So it may not be less than 24 hours. It might be 30 hours this month. We'll see. I'm working on it. Darnay stepped in the other day to make sure we were getting some quality answers out. So we're working on all of that. Finally, the next 6 meetings are there for you. all of these are the third Friday of the month, 9 a.m. I believe all of them are scheduled across the street in one of our regular conference rooms. This was just a scheduling issue and a construction issue and all kinds of things. So we are over here today. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Great. Good report. A lot of good progress. Certainly would I congratulate the management staff on these improvements. It's a tremendous difference. We appreciate how good a job you guys are all doing. All right, so now we'll move up into the complaint review consent agenda. Who is that?
Good morning. Step 1A, recommended dismissal. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1A, recommended dismissals have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay. Do we have a motion regarding these items?
A motion we accept the staff recommendations to dismiss.
Goodman, second.
Thank you. A motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Any opposed? All right, hearing no opposition, we unanimously accept all of Step 5A.
Step 1B, non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1B, recommended non-disciplinary letters of concern, have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Do you have any questions from the board about Step B and Section 5? Do we have a motion regarding Step B and Section 5?
Marshall Knox, I recommend we accept staff recommendations.
Do we have a motion to accept staff recommendations? Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously we accept Section 5B as settled with staff recommendations.
Step 1C, recommended informal interview with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1C, recommended for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the board on Section C? Any individual cases you want to discuss? Do we have a motion regarding Section C?
This is Marshall Knox. I recommend we accept staff recommendations for the informal interview negotiation terms.
All right, so we have a motion to accept staff recommendations. Do we have a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Unanimously, we accept Section C based on staff recommendation. All right. So shall we move into the next section, or I guess I'll call that. All right. So now we move to Section 6, seeing our time. Is this time, sir?
Yep, we're good. And it's 9:36. We're doing good.
All right.
So real quick, from a procedural standpoint, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we will be going into our motions to deem. That is a separate script that you have within your packet. I also shared it with you electronically last week. So I would point you to that as we begin this. And then I think Rosa will introduce the cases, or actually, no, I think it's part of the script that Gary's doing that, and then I think we also have a couple of updates related to those cases, so I'll turn it back to you with the script.
All right. All right, so we'll move to motions to deem. That's Section 6, Part A. Our first case is case number 96593 and 97552, J.C. Karma. SCOS 21061, JC Karma LLC owner, Julie Kuhn, license number 10332111. This is a time scheduled for the board's consideration of the state's motion to deem allegations admitted in case number 96593 and 97552. Is the state represented?
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter.
Thank you. Is the licensee present? Julie Ewan, or representative of JC Pharma? Star 6 if you're on the phone. All right.
Mr. Bagley, members of the board, I do have an update on this case.
Okay.
May I proceed at this time?
Absolutely.
Thank you. In this matter, this motion to deem was scheduled for today. It was sent out, and earlier this week, Ms. Rodriguez received a phone call from Ms. Kewen wishing to resolve the matter. I spoke to her yesterday, late morning, regarding resolving the matter. She indicated that she understood that she was responsible for it, and she wanted it to enter into the consent agreement that this board had previously offered her. As this board votes these matters to a formal hearing, you provide the licensees with the options to accept the signed consent agreement. So Ms. Kewen, on behalf of JC Karma, LLC, in my discussion with her yesterday, signed the consent agreement and also made the first payment on this case if the board wishes. I have copies of both the signed signature and the first payment on this case that I can pass around for your review if you wish. And based on that, as of this time, I would ask that the board accept my withdrawal of my motion to deem allegations submitted in this case as being resolved.
Okay. All right. Then does the board have any questions related to it? Do we have a motion related to the request for withdrawal of this case?
A motion that we accept the withdrawal for the motion to deem in case number 96593 and 97552.
Okay. Do we have a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Can we do a roll call vote on that?
Is it a roll call?
Is it a motion to be?
Roll call is always good.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. You. So on roll call vote, we have Gary Bagley.
Yes.
Marshall Knox.
Yes.
Tracy Mayfield.
Yes.
Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
And Nick Goodman.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So unanimously accept that, and we appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Our next case is case number 97467, Apis Nails and Lashes, SCOF 31747, Apis Nails and Lashes LLC owner, Du Nguyen, 505-00702. This is time scheduled for the board's consideration of the state's motion to deem allegations admitted in case number 97467. Is the state represented?
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter.
Is the licensee present? Apis Nails and Lashes. Star 6, if you're on the phone. All right. There is no response. A motion deemed allegations admitted was filed by the state, and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee at their last known address. 30 days passed. No answer was filed by the licensee. Does the state wish to make oral argument?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Bagley, members of the board, in this case, the board issued a complaint to this licensee after they failed to show for the informal proceeding on May 17th of this year. It was sent to actually two addresses on record with the board, one a Scottsdale address and also a Mesa address. Both were signed for and accepted. The regular mail was also sent out, and it was not returned to the board. So in this case, the licensee has received actual notice, in this case, of the motion to deem allegations admitted, which includes a copy of the complaint. So in this matter, they were aware of the proceedings and their ability to attend here this morning. So because there has been no response to the complaint, under ARS 32573E, which requires an answer on behalf of the state of Arizona, I would ask that the board take three actions in this case. Number one, grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted because we've had no response from the licensee and they have received actual notice. Second, motion would be to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law that are contained in that complaint that was issued by the board back in May. And then finally, regarding penalty in this case, this matter involves MMA being on the premises. So pursuant to the board's voted on parameters on behalf of the state, I would recommend a $250 civil penalty to be paid within 21 days along with costs and attorney's fees pursuant to ARS 32573G as notated within Exhibit B that's attached to the motion to deem allegations admitted. And if not paid within 21 days, the licenses would be revoked. As the board does not have any questions of me at this time, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Again, I offer the licensee an opportunity to respond. Star 6 if you're online. Hearing no response, is there a motion granting the state's motion to deem allegations admitted?
Tracy Mayfield here. I move to grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted, accept the conclusions of law, and go with a $250 fine due within 21 days.
And fees?
And added lawyer's fees and anything additional accrued.
Okay. All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote, please.
For a roll call vote, we have Gary Gagley.
Yes.
Marshall Knox.
Yes.
Tracy Mayfield.
Yes.
Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
Nick Goodman.
Yes.
All right, that kind of encapsulated our other two parts. that's fine. That's fine. Well, you can do it.
Okay, to put them all in one.
It was more economical this way. All right, so that puts it all the way through. So this concludes this matter. An order will be prepared by the staff, mailed to the licensee, and the attorney's office. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, that brings us to 6B, review, discussion, and possible action on barber inspector applicant pursuant to ARS 32323. Application number 00935577. Mr. Chair and members of the board, I am bringing this application for barber inspector to the board as it is a follow-up to public comment received during our regularly scheduled March board meeting. I'll start with a quick refresher on the requirements for an applicant to become a barber instructor for the state of Arizona. Pursuant to ARS 32323B, a barber instructor applicant shall be at least 19 years of age, hold a diploma from a high school or its equivalent as prescribed by the board in its rules, pass an examination given under the direction of the board, pay the prescribed fees, and number 5, have practiced barbering for at least 2 years. Additionally, Arizona Administrative Code R410501 defines practices barbering for at least 2 years as used in ARS 32323B to mean that during 24 consecutive months, an individual engaged in barbering at least 1,500 hours during each 12-month consecutive period. Here are the facts in this specific case. Ms. Darina White-Farrell submitted her application to the board on June 5, 2023. Ms. White-Farrell meets the following criteria. Is at least 19 years of age, holds a high school diploma, passed her barber instructor theory examination with PCS on January 22nd of 2023, subsequently passed the barber instructor practical examination with PCS on May 23rd, 2023, and has paid the prescribed fees. However, it is number 5, have practiced barbering for at least 2 years, where the question comes into play. Ms. Farrell White did not become a licensed barber in the state of Arizona until December 21st of 2022, with an expiration date of April 2nd, 2025. Therefore, Mr. Chair and members of the board, we are seeking your input on whether or not to license Ms. White-Farrell as a barber instructor in the state of Arizona. Do you have any questions for me?
I think for clarification, it might be worthwhile to look at. Isn't it just the point that the law requires a two-year practice and we don't have enough time to have 2 years? So what
are you seeking legal advice?
No, I'm just asking kind of the obvious. Why is that board? Does it set the law? We have no choice.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the staff would agree with you with the interpretation of the statute, in that there is a requirement for 2 years. Subsequent to that is an Arizona Administrative Code that defines 1,500 hours in two consecutive years of barbering. And factually speaking, objectively speaking, did not become a licensed barber in the state of Arizona until December of 22.
Okay.
And Mr. Backham, members of the board, I would concur. It's in the board statute, and this applicant certainly has the opportunity to come back once they meet that criteria as far as the timeline and reapply.
Okay, yeah, because I wouldn't think we'd have any options to override state law.
This is Goodman. If we deny the applicant, does that delay their ability to apply again in December, or can they just rescind their application? What's the best path?
Mr. Chair, Member Goodman, it does not impact their future ability to apply, and we would refund their application fee. And once they were able to provide proof of passing of the exams and the 3,000 hours of barbering practice, then the applicant could reapply with the board at that time. And if meets the requirements, a license would be issued.
This is Goodman with a follow-up. Appreciate that answer. Why would we refund the application fee? We've gone through the expenses, including today, right now, to address this applicant. Why would we refund the fee?
Mr. Chair, Member Goodman, I think that's a great question. I think in my head it was just an assumption of providing customer service to the individual, and they're not going to receive the license. We receive a lot of incomplete licenses. It was just a courtesy.
Yeah. Is there any other factor we need to know about any of this? Is there anything more to it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. So from the board standpoint, we didn't have any ability to do anything to start with. So what are we doing now?
I just wanted to make sure there wasn't, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I wanted to ensure there wasn't some other additional nuance or historical perspective that would prevent this. And again, closure of an open public comment that was received in March.
I'd love to help, but I just don't know that we have a choice of any kind.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, then I'm hearing the board staff will administratively deny the application. We will get that information out to the applicant.
Okay. That's unfortunate. Love to help, I just can't figure out what we could do.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Very important. 2 years is critical knowledge. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's move forward. Maybe some future change in the rules or something like that. Who knows? All right. Now, number section 7, which I assume we're also time certain on.
Yep, we're good to go.
All right, so would you review those with me?
Step 2A with negotiation options. Number 1 will be appearing. 2 will be appearing. 3 appearing. Number 4 negotiated. 5 is appearing. 6 is unresolved. 7 unresolved. And 8 is unresolved.
Well, first of all, this is a nice short list.
Yeah,
thank you. All right, let's start through them then. All right, first, there's
script for that, Mr. Chair.
All right, here we go. All right, so informal interview. right, it is now something 9:30 or something like
9:42.
9:52. Somewhere in the world. 9:52 a.m. on July 21st, 2023. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of case was scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32-573. My name is Board Chairman Begley. The other board members now will introduce themselves and indicate whether they're a public member or a professional member. Brandon, would you begin?
Well, my name is Brandon McFadden, professional barber.
Marshall Knox, professional barber, vice chair.
Tracy Mayfield, professional cosmetologist.
Mr. Goodman.
Nick Goodman, public member.
Thank you. Also present are the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney general, Mona Baskin, from the Arizona Attorney General's office. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing *6. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not to take time repeating information that the board has already received. If you and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be, you and your legal counsel collectively, will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or about 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner, or we will end that case. Once the board concludes the discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case among ourselves and request you not interrupt the process. Would now like to swear in the board staff. At this time, I'd like to swear our staff members will be testifying today. For the following compliance team members, please stand and raise your right hand. Rosa Rodriguez, Ellen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, Alexander Hill, and Kathy Bergeron. You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do, Rosa Rodriguez, compliance administrator.
I do, Keegan McConnell.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
I do, Ellen Bordelon.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Alexander Hill.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. All right, so let's move to our first case, case number 84549, Trust Lounge Barbershop, BBE-001-885, Anthony John Choya, VAR-010237. Are you present?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great, glad you're here. So I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't have that case in front of me, so is that your case, Ian?
Yes, sir.
All right, would you please review the case with us?
All right, so good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. My name is Stephen McConnell. Alongside me is Kathy Bergeron. She's there with me. On February 8th, 2023, I conducted an investigation of Trust Lounge Barbershop. I spoke with owner Anthony Ochoa. For sanitation, we found no additional violations of statute or administrative code were identified. And then for the license issues, I verified Trust Lounge Barbershop, BDE-001-885, on the board's database, and determined that it has not been renewed for both establishment or personal license. Records show it still has an expiration date of 6/30 of 2021 for the shop, and 8/26 of 2021 for his personal. Provided the licensee with an inspection report and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I would happy to address them.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for the investigator? Any clarification needed? Is there any other question down that way?
The for both the personal and the long license brought to his instance.
The establishment was 6/30 of 2021, and the personal was 8/26 of 2021.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Mr. Choya, did you get a chance to review this complaint?
Yes, I read this small complaint.
Okay. Do you have any additional information you'd like to give us?
Yeah. The shop hasn't been open since June of 2020 and has been used as a eating area for the adjacent business, which is owned by me. It's a dining area, so it hasn't really been a barber shop for since COVID, and I haven't had any barbers back since. The complaint says that they found barbers with an S, more than one. There was no barber working in the barber shop, and there was no anybody identifying as a barbershop client in the barbershop.
Is the facility still set up as a barbershop?
No. It just has pictures with a barbershop aesthetic, but it hasn't been a barbershop in a very long time.
Are there chairs and these sorts of things, furniture pieces that relate to barbering there?
No, I don't know if your investigators submitted pictures, which they should have displayed on. It's a dining area. I have two tall bar top tables, four dining chairs, pool table, and lounge area. And it's where the customers enjoy their beverages and their food.
Okay.
The investigators were very upset. They displayed being upset outside while they're speaking to me, like as if they came for nothing. So I don't know why this complaint was still being forwarded to the board.
Was the barbershop officially closed and the license closed out?
No, I haven't renewed it. I haven't renewed it since then because I wasn't able to complete what was needed to be uploaded. But then I talked to somebody in the office and they said, oh, just go ahead and re-upload a birth certificate because I needed something. And then they wanted payment for something, $430, I think. So I called again and asked, am I going to have any issue if I pay that? So I haven't paid that. But it's been about like 2 years in case I ever do want to bring back the barbershop. But this city does not make no money as a barbershop. I'm in a rural town, so it's not worth having a barbershop here in this town. I'm doing a lot better with my restaurant, and it's been like that since 2020. The report says they found barbers with no display licenses.
Yes.
That's false. Last establishment license, which is correct. Barber walking out the door, which investigators were talking. That's a cleaner. He comes and cleans the shop before I come and open in the afternoon. This visit was probably around like maybe 1 or 2 in the afternoon. I opened shop from 3 to midnight. So that wasn't a barber. It was a cleaner and he walked out, they were upset about that too as well. They should have got his name, a picture, or more information before that person walked out.
Okay. Let me ask the investigators a question, if I may. When you guys were there, did it appear to be a barbershop?
So, Mr. Chair, when we walked in, it was open door. There was a guy who looked like a barber. I see him all the time when I go on to say. He was shooting pool, and me and Kathy both asked, are you a barber here? He said, yes. I'm just waiting for a client to come. So he was shooting pool at the time. Then he called me for, like, was the owner here or close by? So then Anthony Chola came. We talked to him outside, and while we were talking to him about that, the guy rushed out, and Anthony Chola said, oh, he's home to lunch at the time. And he ran the door so fast, we couldn't even really say, hey, stop. Get a license and stuff like that, or get a sink at all. So, but he had chairs set up around the room, pool table. There was a restaurant next door, but it was separate, and there was barber chair. I mean, a little like a barber shop. There were chairs set up and everything. So,
like barber chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, store to the corner. You should have took pictures. You should have had a lot of pictures taken, because I think you need those right now.
Was there signage
for a barbershop?
Yeah,
I believe outside. Yeah.
Yeah, my signage hasn't been peeled. My vinyl hasn't been peeled off. The sticker hasn't been peeled off the wall. It kind of helps as a shade, like to block the sun from going in. But
I suspect we have a problem here. That it appears that you were set up to act as a barbershop. You appeared to have signage as a barbershop. There is certainly an appearance that you were acting in the possibility of being a barbershop, and the license was never canceled, which would enable you to act as a barbershop, and yet it doesn't sound like you think it's a barbershop. So this doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
I do keep the aesthetic as a barbershop because we did establish that as a barbershop, but I haven't. It's just decor, Hobby Lobby decor. As long as you don't find a client on the chair, a barber's actually in a process of providing service.
Yeah, that's true. If you're if you're set up and have the appearance of acting in the capacity of a barbershop, it's the intent to act as a barbershop.
If I my setup was designed as a coal mine, doesn't mean that I'm actually being a coal mine. It's just a look. It's just a decoration. It's just a homage to what the barbershop was there once before.
Okay, the issue we're still kind of having here is the inspector actually questioned the individual that was there. He admitted that yes, he was a barber. He was waiting for a client.
We probably need that person near then because I wasn't there for that conversation and that doesn't appear to be involving me.
Yeah, it's your shop, so you should be there if he was there.
Yeah, he's a cleaner. I have a key in the front door, code. You can come in and clean, mop. I don't need to be there for a gentleman to come and clean my toilets and clean the shop.
Okay.
Yeah, according to state law, you have the ability and advertise as a business that you're licensed for is the intent to operate. And it appears that you're in that situation. So this is really where our dilemma lies.
Okay, so what would you like to do? Because there was for conducting any kind of barbering services.
This is Goodman. Sorry, I'm online here and not able to meet in person. You keep answering the questions by referring to it as a shop. I don't hear very many restaurant owners refer to their restaurants as a shop.
Well, it's a boba shop. So, yeah, I refer to my boba shop as a shop. Sorry about that.
Oh, because the boba. Okay. So you do.
The coffee shop. I sell teriyaki burgers, hamburger specials, boneless wings. And that's all. And I provide a dining area for my customers because summertime here is very hot. So dining out on the patio is not an option. So it has been that way and has been working very successfully for me since 2020. And, you know, so that's where the customers dine in. And I have never had any need to want to take down any of the decorations that are still in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really stuck on this point that you are set up as though you could operate as a barbershop. Historically,
it's not operated as a dining. You can't cut hair on
it. I understand what you're saying. But the law is what we have to deal with, and the law says that you can't have the intent to operate. You can't advertise as one. You can't be set up as one. And in this case, because you actually had been one before, it's mm-hmm. really difficult for us to look at this as though there was no intent to operate.
Okay.
So we'll figure out what to do about this, but certainly from this experience, you need
to... I would intend to operate a barbershop when I have my fees paid and I have a valid license. I would never operate knowing that if I had a barbershop that's running unlicensed, that's just a chance of somebody coming and doing an inspection.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, but unfortunately, we deal with many cases every month of people who do exactly that.
Okay.
So anyway, what I was going to say to you is that for sure.
I just said item two on this says that there's found barbers. You found barbers. Would this case really be thrown out because of the fact that the statement states found barbers? What barbers did you find?
Quick question for you. When was the last time you operated at the barbershop?
When was the last time?
Yes.
June of 2020 when the city of Somerton closed me down for COVID restrictions.
June of 2020?
Yes.
Okay. And if you haven't, first off, if you're not no longer going to be performing barbering services, you're no longer going to have a barber shop, just so you know, you do need to notify the board that you're no longer going to operate as a shop. Do any of your guys actually advertise for your shop?
No, I don't know. I don't have anybody that, the only person I have there are my employees or my cooks and my partner. Am I
okay. So you don't do any social media advertising for your shop?
I have not done any advertising. If they do, they're all independents all around this town here. Everybody cuts at home around here now. Nobody has, like, a barbershop to go to.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
What are you looking at?
Right now, we're looking at your social media for your barber shop, and it's advertised as a shop with postings as of May 2nd of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? So who's advertising for your shop if you're not?
I lost that account. I haven't really, that account has been stolen, like, by a barber that did work there, and I have never even had access to that anymore.
Well, we unfortunately are looking at an advertisement for your shop that's only 2 months old, and it's $12 for a haircut, so I remember, right?
That's not an old post.
Yeah, so this is a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
The main issue that I'm currently having is you had an individual in there that when they were approached and were asked, what would they by an inspector say, you know, I'm a barber. They admitted to being a barber and the fact that they were waiting on a client. That's the issue we're having here.
Yeah. And we have social media.
Social media and the fact that if you were operating as a shop, you should have notified the board and let them know that you were canceling, you know, that you're no longer going to be a shop and you want to cancel your license.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Thank you for letting me know that, but I will probably be doing that now.
Yeah, it'd be important to clean this up because we'll definitely come back and see where you are and how you're operating because now we're
suspicious. Of course. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, does the board have any other questions related to this case in front of us?
Okay. Is this address false statements? Why are this false statements?
We don't know.
Investigator, or you could talk to your investigator or find a new one that's going to do a thorough report because even these two findings seem very brief and lazy.
Yes, excuse me, sir. There's a civility policy, and we're not attacking you that way. I would ask that you not attack staff that way. And I will also simply point out to you that we've got there were two investigators there during this.
Yes.
Okay? So you're accusing two staff members of providing false statements when they're under oath before the board. So I would caution you as part of this civility policy and moving forward about accusations you're going to lob at staff.
Well, it's not an accusation. It's a fact here that says found barbers.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would recommend that you move this case forward at this point and not allow for any additional interruptions by the respondent.
We're moving into deliberation on this, so we'll take no more testimony. So, board, is there anything that you would like to review about this case?
I just wanted to confirm that I'm seeing the sign right that was controlled.
I don't know what you're seeing, so I don't know that.
That's about $100. What was the staff recommendation, Keegan, for
$100 and then the 12 months. $100 is the 12 month probation period, the early termination.
Does the barber board have the same 10-day requirement?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, that is such a great question. I know Assistant Attorney General Baskin referenced the meeting yesterday. The team was meeting to discuss that. Unfortunately, the board parameters are not the same across cosmetology and barbering at this time. It's going to be difficult at this time to bring those into alignment because there is separate statutory, I believe cosmetology statute allows for up to $2,000 civil penalty and barbering is $500 if I remember off the top of my head, are the maxes. So you'll see, depending on licensure type, you'll see differences in what board parameters are until we can get those legislative changes. Until we can get those legislative changes updated.
Wow. All right. So do we have a motion regarding this case?
Well, Tracy Mayfield, I motion for the exception of the findings of fact, or I move that we adopt the findings of fact and the conclusions of law in the investigative report.
All right. Do I have a second?
I second. Marshall Knox.
If the motion is second, all in favor say aye.
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 May for Goodman.
Okay. Well, majority says we're there. Do we have an order of discipline, a motion for an order of discipline this morning?
Um, Tracy Mayfield, I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, we take the following disciplinary action. I would say for sure the proposed $100 fine for not having in the 12-month probationary period. Can I add on to that? You know, whether you're operating one or not, it appeared you were, and there was someone there saying they were a barber, and you never canceled your license. So it just seems clear that that was the case.
Okay. We have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So, Mr. Choi, in the end of this, we're going to fine you $100 for all the things that happened here. That may seem good or bad to you, but I can tell you if this was cosmetology, you'd be looking at a four-figure fine. So it's a good day for you. So clean this
I've
up.
Heard you guys in the past listen to your audios, talk about the same thing, and I've heard you discuss not finding anybody because there wasn't a client in a certain chair. Now that you guys want to find me. You guys also addressed the fact that this person also said that my shop front has a barber school.
The problem is that you were set up to appear as a barber shop, and that's against the law. You have social media advertising a barber shop, which you say you're not, and that would be an indication of the event trying to do a business. You need to clean this up. You can't continue to act like and look like a barber shop if you're not a barber shop.
And Mr. Chair and members of the board, I would also clarify the point for the respondent that he's being fined for operating an unlicensed establishment. It's not related to the appearance of the school, and it's not related to the unlicensed individual that the investigator spoke to. It's solely about the unlicensed establishment.
Okay. So I could log on there and it says pay now. If I'm able to pay that today, will I be able to get my establishment license and my barber license for future?
You want to act as a barbershop?
I don't have to act, but I like to hold the license.
Yeah, you'd have to reapply because your license is delinquent by several years. So
okay.
That's where your big fines come in. I can't advise you what to do, but I would think that's probably not your best strategy.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move to the second case. Our case number 98000, Tracy H. Eisenhausen. License number 599-20334 and license 306-00188. Ms. Eisenhausen, are you available? Star 6 if you're on phone. Case number 98000, if anyone associated with that case is available, star 6 to unmute your phone.
I'm here.
Who is this? Are you there? Case number 98000, is someone there for that case? Star 6 to unmute your phone.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Tracy Eisenhausen, case number 98000.
Okay, good. Ms. Eisenhausen, I need to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And state your name, please.
Tracy Eisenhausen.
All right, thank you. We're going to review this case with our investigator, and then I'm going to come back to you and ask you questions.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Chavez, would you review this case with us, please?
Good morning, Mr. Begley and the board members. My name is Lisa Chavez, and I had conducted an inspection of this nail salon. It was an unlicensed salon, and it was actually continued from board meeting of May 2023. And during that time, she was to be licensed. The board had wanted to give her time enough to get her paperwork in order with the Secretary of State and his license. And on June 2nd of 2023, she did get licensed for license number SNT20363. And that's pretty much where we're at.
All right, so the shop was okay.
You mentioned a whole statement from your report.
But
you're missing stuff from your own report.
No, this is a continuation. Okay. Oh, am I to do the whole thing again? I thought it was just a continuation to bring it up.
I would review G on your summary.
She did that. There was only one license issued, right?
There is only one license issued, and she had told our compliance supervisor that she's no longer doing any aesthetic services.
Okay. All right, well, let's go. Does anybody have a question about our investigator first? Board?
Yeah, so we've already spoken
of this case,
and she was supposed to get her license, and now she has?
Yes, correct.
And it was?
Beforehand, she didn't have a license for aesthetic or for nail top technology when I went in December. When she came up to the board in May, the board gave her a chance because she had just dealt with Secretary of State because there was a misunderstanding. And with the Secretary of State, they had to take care of that same day as the board meeting.
Okay.
And so the board itself decided to give her time, 60 days of a continuance, to be able to get her licensing together. And then she got her license in June for a nail technology salon. And then from that point, she's not doing any aesthetic services. And so that's where we're at.
And have we rechecked her for aesthetics?
We have not.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right, let's go to the respondent. Ms. Eihausen,
yes.
Have you had a chance to review this complaint, and can you help us to understand this better?
Yes. So beginning, I did open up the suite. I ran the suite, and I did have the license for paying up what esthetician. But then I realized that I did not have the business license, and I was there, and I did submit other information. So I got my nails license, my nails business license, but I decided not to do any esthetician in my suite. So then that's the reason why there is no point for me to get a business esthetician, because I'm not doing anything, because so many people in that building doing it. So I'm not going to make any money. Why should I get a license? So that's why I stopped completely. That's why when I got my nails business license, I did get my esthetician license.
Okay. Are you licensed as an esthetician? Is that what you're telling us?
I have a personal esthetician license, but
okay.
I don't do anything in my suite.
All right. And as Ms. Chavez was reminding us, you got stuck somewhere in the establishment license trying to figure out your Secretary of State trademarking or something?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
We did get a training, everything. We submit everything. The next
yeah,
day,
you're all good now. But
yeah.
You were stuck. That's where you were stuck, is you couldn't get the paperwork
yeah.
done before.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so the question that I have right now is just trying to go back on the case a little bit. She had an esthetician license, but not a business license.
The establishment.
Establishment license,
correct.
Which is what we initially fined her for.
We were doing both for the nail technology and for the not having an aesthetic.
For not having the licenses. Now she.
Can I kind of go back?
Huh?
So for when I went in, she had wax machines, mm-hmm. but they weren't fully set up.
Okay.
Okay. So that's an attempt. But when I went in, she was fully set up for nail technology, and she was trying to find at that time. So when I stayed for her inspection sheet, that's when I told her for both, because, you know, she was having the waxing sheet and the nail technology service. So does that give you a little more?
Right, but now she has the establishment. I'm just confused. She has a establishment license, but she's not going to use it.
Okay. So she has the nail technology salon license to where she can do nail services, but she is no longer doing any skin or aesthetic services. So she decided not to go forward with it because, like she said, and like I observed, there are a lot of aesthetic salons in that salon suite.
Okay. So before we... I'm assuming Robin's continuing. We will give her time to work on getting it.
Correct.
But now she's saying, I'm just not going to get it. So I think the issue at hand is, well, she did get her nail license. The nail, but not, she's not going to get it. But the initial...
The first period, she was set up for aesthetics and nails and didn't have a license.
So she was the question at hand today is, are we still... The issue of the aesthetics...
Well, she's not doing this thing, which I understand that. But the issue is she got caught in her system, apparently.
Sure.
And couldn't get the establishment figured out because it was too complicated.
Yes. So
that's where we
are. Back to the initial, she got caught with an aesthetic, doing aesthetic.
She got caught doing nail data aesthetics, so it was a license.
She didn't have a license.
But she had applied, but she was stuck in our system. We did it just to clean it up. She cleaned up the nail side with the other side.
Okay. So it's a matter of...
Right at this point, do we feel like she needed a penalty because she was stuck in our system, or is that the end of the game? What do we do? And we're at the point where we're going to deliberate now. So if you have any other questions, we're welcome to do that. If you have a motion, we'd be welcome a motion.
Just a discussion. Do we feel confident that there was a lot of? I mean, we feel confident that skin care is not being
done. I think that she has two facts. Like the wax pot, but she didn't have it fully set up to have a client or anything. She was more set up for her nail side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Brandon McFadden, like the motion for dismiss. Case 98000.
I second.
If we have a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Goodman?
Yeah, aye.
Aye. Right. Any opposed? Unanimously we vote to close this case. To dismiss this case. We recognize that the investigator was absolutely correct. And she gets the benefit of us bringing our system might have been a little clumsy. All right, so Ms. Eihausen?
Yes.
Okay, we've dismissed your case. I'd like to acknowledge to you that you were operating without a license, and we're well aware of that, but we recognize that you tried hard to fix it, and you did, and we appreciate the counsel given to you by Ms. Chavez, and we'd like you to be successful and continue on in your practice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your time.
Thank Ms. Chavez. She's the one that did it.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Number three, our case number 98201, Kin Do Hair Design SCOS 25984. Kin Do Hair Design LLC is the owner. Kin Nguyen, member, Yen H. Pham. License 11001104. Actual live people, how nice.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, for the record, we do have an LLC attestation on file for this case.
You swear the testimony you're going to give today will be truthful? And state your name.
Holy Spirit.
Okay. Kim Nguyen. Okay. Thank you very much. Please have a seat. We'll have our investigator review this first, and then we'll come back to ask you questions.
Good morning, Mr. Bakley, members of the board. My name is Alexandra Hill. On March 10th of 2023, I conducted an inspection at Pandu Service Mine and spoke with the manager. When verifying Tom's personal license on the board's licensing database system, it was determined that Mr. Tom's personal license expired on May 10th of 2022, 10 months inactive. On May 26th, 2023, Mr. Tom renewed his personal license over 1 year inactive, almost 3 months with the inspection. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
Other than that, was the salon or the establishment in good condition?
Sanitation-wise, everything was good.
Okay. Okay, and all the other licenses were good and everything else was good?
Yes.
All right. So have you had the opportunity to review this complaint?
Yes, we have.
Okay, Chairman. Do you have additional information you'd like to give us?
I was just here to brought that to our attention. And moving forward, we are, it was a gap where licensing review was paused. So, and for Mr. Hum, he's not very technologically savvy. So moving forward, we're going to help him with reminding him of doing that. By staff and his smartphones, and so we are basically just here to ask for the penalty of the 150, I believe, to be removed, and because he doesn't have any prior issues in the past, so this is the first. So if we could have that as a warning as opposed to have a penalty.
And how long have you guys been in business?
8 years.
8 years? Oh, nice. Okay. Does the board have any questions?
Can we check there, please?
No.
No. After we accept the fines dispatched for conclusion.
So I motion that we move forward with finding the fact for case number 98201.
The motion is that we think that we found it to be true.
But find the fact of the investigation report, yes.
Finding the facts and conclusions of law.
Okay. Find the facts and conclusions of the law.
All right. All right, so we got that. So we have a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Okay.
Aye. Aye. Mr. Goodman?
Hard to get the mute off that time. Sorry. Aye.
Okay. So unanimously we agree that the event happened. Do we have a motion regarding an order of discipline this matter?
Brian McFadden speaking. Given off the history that you guys have been in business for 8 years and been pretty punctual, I would like to think them coming to represent themselves. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about the business trying to move forward. I wouldn't mind moving forward and dismissing that.
Are you making a motion to
dismiss? Mr. Chair, Member Brandon, we've actually adopted the findings of facts and conclusions of law. We cannot dismiss this case.
But we did hear a letter of concern. We can't. So you have other dismiss. I have whatever you choose to do.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Board Member McFadden, you have at this time the board has adopted the findings of facts and conclusions of law, finding that the conduct occurred and that the violations occurred. So as far as what disciplinary options you have a disciplinary option of offering a consent agreement for the fine that is contained within the board's parameters. You also have the option to place a license on probation if you feel that there's a need to do further inspections that could be done by a board order.
or you can issue a disciplinary letter of concern, which would contain the findings of facts and conclusions of law, which would be a disciplinary letter that would be in their file, but there would be no associated fine. So those would be your disciplinary options.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Disciplinary action, 12 months. He's not recording the situation. Disciplinary action, I move that based on his findings of the facts and exclusion of law, we take the following disciplinary action. 12-month probation. Disciplinary action. Disciplinary letter.
Just for clarification, Mr. Chairman, Board Member McFadden, you are recommending as a motion for a disciplinary letter of concern. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Right. So we have a motion for a disciplinary letter of concern. Do we have a second?
I second.
All right. Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy? All right. Then unanimously we agree that we're doing a disciplinary letter of concern to make a note that this happened. The fine has been dismissed. We appreciate you coming in. You'll get a letter about this. And that's all there is to it.
Thank you.
And thank you. So, did an excellent job. So, Omega. Okay, that brings us to number five. Number five is 98121. Joanna Coran. License 18428275.
We're on the phone, star 6.
Case number 98121, Joanna Coran. Hearing no response, I move that case number 98121 be moved to a formal hearing unless the parties involved agree to consent agreement within an appropriate time.
Goodman, second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Unanimously, we agree to move this case forward and not very able to come into consent terms. Our next case is case number 98123, Allison Parson. License 11401019. Ms. Parson. On the phone, star 6. Anybody who wants to see Ms. Parson? Come forward. No, nobody wants to. Okay. All right. So, again, star 6. Ms. Parson, 98123. Hearing no response, I move the case number 98123. We move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved agree to the consent agreement in an appropriate time.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Unanimously, we agree to move that forward. Our next case is case number 98247, Jessica Green, license 11901252. Star 6, if you're on the phone. Case number 98247, Jessica Green. Hearing no response, I move the case number 98247, move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved are able to agree to the consent agreement at an appropriate time.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimously agree to move case number 98247 to a formal hearing. Next and last case is INSP 085384, Jose Cordova Leyva, license number BBE-01430. And also license number BAR-003805. Mr. Leyva, case number INSP 085384. star 6 if you're on the phone. Hearing no response, I move the case number INSP-085384. Move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved are able to agree to the consent agreement within an appropriate time.
Second, Marshal Knox.
Here we have the second or two. A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. Unanimously, we move that case forward as motion. Which brings us to number 8. Review, consideration, and possible action regarding the annual election of board officers to chairman, vice chairman, and secretary treasurer.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, pursuant to ARS 32503A, there is a requirement that the board annually elect its leadership, if you will, of chairperson, vice chairperson, and a secretary slash treasurer all in one. That has not occurred in the 15 months that I have been here. We talked about it internally. We believe from a organizational standpoint that we should do it in July. That is the new business year for us as an organization. So we put, with your agreement last month, we placed this on the agenda for this month, and we'll turn it over to you to conduct elections if you choose, how you choose to do that with 5 members currently here and 3 absent.
All right. So let's go through that. Currently, the leadership, Member Begley is chairperson, Member Knox is the vice chairman, and Dandy is the secretary treasurer.
Correct.
All right, so we normally do this by have a motion for each position and then acceptance by that person if they agree to do it, which, of course, is the hard part. So if you have a motion for chairman, then we need to make that motion.
Question for you, Chairman Davis. Can you possibly go through, like, just a brief description?
The chairperson position in this board manages the meeting, calls the cases, runs the agenda, is involved with the board staff during the month. If there's some question about some change or procedural change or anything like that going on, or if there's any unusual cases that need to have input of how it's perceived in order to have a review, to have an idea of how to move it through the system. It's not a high level of activity, but there's a fair amount of activity in that position. The vice chair position is the person who generally, as we have operated, takes over the meeting if the chairman's unavailable. And performs the functions within the meeting structure in the same format to make all that work, to have all these cases go through. The secretary treasurer, I'm not aware, has any particular function. So that's a great job.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Member Knox, I think we've also, in my time here, we've tried to shift the dynamic of the organization where that you guys are here to hear cases, provide that oversight, set policy, and not be involved in the day-to-day business. My perspective is supported by statute that the board has hired me as the executive director to run the day-to-day business of this organization. I think Gary has shared with me over the last 15 months that he used to spend 8 hours a week on this work, and now he's down to no more than an hour a week as the chairperson, plus the board meeting. We probably talk from a chairperson, executive director standpoint, we might talk once a month, and it's usually related to something leading up to the board meeting. For that, the other positions, frankly, I've not spoken with either of those two positions about anything board related specifically. I think the big one, and you shared this, Mr. Chair, is that vice chair in the absence of the chairperson and being ready and prepared to run that meeting is, I think, what that key function that we need from that secondary person. Current chair and vice chair have excellent attendance at the board meetings, so I think that's very good. But then from a secretary treasurer standpoint, there's nothing statutorily that position is off. Well, frankly, there's actually nothing in the statute about the three positions other than that there is three positions. And so I don't mean to minimize it in any way, but it's really figurehead to a certain extent and having for me to have a chairperson to go to in certain instances throughout the month. But it's really, I hope the board, you haven't provided feedback otherwise, has been good with direction in that shift in relying on the staff and the leadership team to do this work.
I think that as you look historically, there were times where it was nearly daily involvement. So that is a giant change. And for $50 a month, for pretty good deal. A little lower than my consulting rate. So anyway, that's where we are. So we welcome you. I would say also from my end of it, I'm happy to be involved in the way I am. I've done it for a long time, and I find value in doing it. It is realistic that I'm 70 years old, and there comes a point where somebody a little younger needs to get inside and get into this. So if you don't make a change at this point, it would be great to be thinking about that as we move into the next 12 months. In 14 years, I missed two meetings.
Well, I'm motioning that we, I guess this is a motion, right?
Yeah, I think
so.
I nominate
Gary Bagley as the chairman.
Okay.
Any other contestants?
Anybody else?
Family next unit.
Well, the most pressure.
He's like, get me out of this. I'm here 3 hours.
You did a great job. That's the way to lead the
ship. Thank you. All right, well, if we have no other nominees, then we need to vote on
that. I would go ahead and just solidify it with the vote.
All right. We'll do a roll call vote. Yeah,
Marshall Knox, aye.
Tracy Mayfield, aye.
Brandon McFadden, aye.
Nick?
Goodman, aye.
Right. Begley, aye. So thank you. I appreciate it. This is, I think, 14 years?
Yeah, that's a new question.
I think it was 08, 09, maybe, like that. So I just need that. Anyway, let's look at my... Vice Chair. I would like to say that I think Mr. Knox has done a great job. I think having the representation for the Barber Board in leadership is important because we are a combined board. It's important that we work together to make this work for everybody. So I would nominate Marshall Knox.
I second.
You have to agree to accept it.
Oh, I agree.
Enthusiasm. Do we have any other nominees? Mr. Goodman, did you have any aspirations?
No, not at all.
All right.
So clarify, this was a public record. I have lots of aspirations, none to do this role. I think Mr. Knox will do great.
Anybody else? Anybody want it? I'll do it, but if anybody else wants it.
Yeah. All right, so let's do a roll call again. Do you want to call the roll call so we do it that way?
Please. Yeah, I can do that. Let's go for a roll call vote. Gary Bagley?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Yes.
Tracy Mayfield?
Yes.
Brandon McFadden?
Yes.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, let's go for that highly sought after Secretary Treasurer position.
No, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm up to
any volunteer.
No.
Volunteer.
Brandy has been in that position for the last year. I don't know. I mean, she fulfilled all the responsibilities.
With her not being here.
Yeah, really, really well. Even strung up. Do we have any other nominees for the Secretary of Treasurer position? I think it might be nice. Tracy,
anybody want to
I think Tracy should take a look at the position. So I'm nominating Tracy.
That would require a lot.
I'm sorry, what's it, but the third time?
Oh, we can make a list.
If Brandy can't stop because she's not here.
So I think, Mr. Chair, what I'm, and members of the board, what I'm hearing is we can nominate and vote on her, to be, that remain in that position. But she doesn't, that doesn't mean she has to accept it, which would mean we would come back to this meeting and do it, that position again next month, is how I would play that one out.
Okay, I nominate Tracy.
Hey, I'll think of this. Amen. Right. We have a nomination and a second. So let's do a roll call.
Roll call vote. Gary Bagley.
Yes.
Marshall Knott.
Yes.
Tracy Mayfield.
Yes.
Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
Nick Goodman.
Yes.
All right. So we'll start working on the job description for Secretary of Treasurer right away.
Yeah. Right here.
We're going to have you. On the right way.
Your and more investigators.
Your treasurer should be raises to everybody.
I'm on.
I get it. All right, you can be good at that job. Hard on the budget, but good at that job. All right, thank you all very much. It was an important thing we'll do, and we will do this next try. So be thinking about life. All right, next discussion. Discussion consideration possible action regarding the 2023 draft Barbering and Cosmetology Administrative Code update. I believe everyone received this. It is a big document, 58 pages, if I remember right, which is interesting to note that it is many pages down from what it was when it began, which is always important.
Sorry, didn't interrupt you. Sorry. Mr. Chair, members of the board, we are pleased to be able to bring this back before the board this month. We did this, we had the initial conversation in the month of March at that board meeting where we had that lengthy discussion. We answered some questions, realizing there were a number of items that needed to go back. Deputy Director Shepherd continued her work through that, those questions that we received, worked on that, worked with our contracted rules drafter, Jeannie Hahn. That took a little bit longer than we anticipated, that taking it from where it was, taking that board input in March to where it's at today. Great feedback from Ms. Hahn and Kelly, Ms. Shepherd, Deputy Director Shepherd, excuse me, is here today to provide an update on where that's at. We are hoping our desired outcome from this today is board consensus to move this forward with the Governor's Regulatory Review Council and the Arizona Secretary of State's office. We discussed this. This was discussed with the board on day 5 of me being in the role on April 8th of 22. The board set their vision for what they believed the future direction of these rules were, and that was first and foremost a consolidation of the cosmetology and barber rules, okay, to be clear. You will see from Deputy Director Shepherd's presentation this morning, that is now been consolidated when and where appropriate, keeping in mind that there are scope of practice differences, so there's certain things that cannot and never will be consolidated based on current scope of practice work. And secondarily, it is that second vision, the second piece was that health and safety focus for the citizens of the state of Arizona when they are receiving barbering and cosmetology services at a licensed establishment by a licensed individual. So I hope and I trust that the board has seen the due diligence that staff has done to get to that point where we are today. So again, our hope and our desired outcome from the conversation this morning is to get to that consensus. I would frankly love a board vote if you are comfortable on that to move this forward. Now, are there going to be gaps in this? Yes. absolutely. We are fully aware that there are gaps. However, we are finding ourselves in a place where we need to get the rules consolidated to this place in order for us to get to the 2.0 version in the future. Additionally, there are a number of places, again, that we can't consolidate and we can't make changes because of current statute. So what the plan on that is, if we can get consensus on this set of rules and we can start moving this ball down the path with Governor's Regulatory Review Council and the Arizona Secretary of State's office, that we get that going. At the same time, we see a legislative subcommittee of the board and public, for that matter, to start talking about what those legislative potential legislative changes should be so that we can get all of that prepared by the holidays this year so that going into legislative session next year, we can identify our champions for change, changing of statute so that we can then get to rules, what I'm affectionately calling rules 2.0. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Deputy Director Shepherd to go through a number of highlights and then start that discussion with the board this meeting.
Great. Thank you, Director McGalley. First and foremost, I actually want to give appreciation to our staff. It was almost a year ago. It'll be a year ago, August 10th was my first day. And my first day, the first thing I did was sit in on a rules meeting. And needless to say, I was a little confused. But all of our staff, Ms. Rodriguez, Mr. Bueno, Ray was the very first one. Mr. Devine kind of shepherded this through. Ms. Baskin, Director McGalley, it has been a real team effort for us to bring our subject matter experts to come to be able to present to you a more consolidated version of our rules. Very briefly, for your knowledge and for the knowledge of those who may be in attendance with us from the public, the legislature passes statutes that govern what it is that this board does. Currently, there are two sets of statutes, one for the cosmetology board and one for the barbers. With the consolidation of the two boards, we are still under two sets of statutes. We referenced that earlier in terms of civil penalties and what we are able to do. Those are defined by the legislature. From that, some of them are very high level. The Arizona Administrative Code then goes from what those statutes are to the particulars or the how those things are defined, of which we are bound by the board, and you as the board are also, it defines what our violations are, what our civil penalties are. Well, that comes from our board parameters, but that defines what it is, our work. So as Director McGalley reference, we are not at the point of changing our statute yet. This is a proposal to our Arizona Administrative Code, which then will go through officially through the Secretary of State. There will be a 30-day public comment period, so we will get comments back from our stakeholders, from our customers, from our consumers, that we can incorporate it, and then it goes through the governor's regulatory review committee to give us feedback as well. Once that all gets passed through that, then the Secretary of State will make those changes within 60 days, and then we will then be bound by those new rules, by that new administrative code. So we have combined where it's possible. We kept specifics to barbering or cosmetology after each section, so I'll go through the different articles of the rule. And then we renumbered them for clarity, basically. So there's different articles. Article 1 is around general provisions. Very first is our definition, so we are clear on what we mean in our rules. We did add the definition of practice. There was some discussion of what does it mean to be a practicing barber or a practicing cosmetologist. We clarified that that is a licensed individual. That is not somebody who can do the work without being licensed for our rules. That was added for clarity's sake. We added the term discipline to describe cosmetology, barbering, aesthetics, that sort of thing. We changed what we were calling salons and shops to establishments so that that would be able to be used across the board, no matter which discipline we were referring to. And we clarified what it means to have 2 years of high school. So in the past, there was some discussion around that they had to have an English course. Was that around credits? So there's more clarity as to what 2 years of high school references. Yes, ma'am.
Is the clarity that it just has to be 2 physical years?
It's 2 years, and so it's essentially 11 credits. We also added a definition around homeschooling because we did have a situation where a homeschooled individual was applying to be, who was of 16 years old, who wanted to be able to apply, and we did not have any reference to that in our rule, and therefore did not necessarily have the credits as they would if they were going through a public or a private high school. But they do have to be registered within their school district that they are being homeschooled, so we added that clarity. Our fees do remain separate because of our statute changes. So to this point in time, none of the fees that we are charging, so there are differences in the application fees for establishments, for schools, even for personal licenses between our barbers and our cosmetology side of the house. Those will remain separate until we can get those changed in statute. Because new legislation, House Bill 2550, added an eyelash technician registration to our board, we have decided that that registration and renewal fee will be $45 and that there is an eyelash training program that needs to be board approved and that that application fee would be $250. That was not, although the legislation said it has to be a board approved eyelash training program, and in statute, we do have the ability to add fees for the business of this board. We may be challenged by that for the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. We don't know, but we do feel we are within our statute to be able to add that.
Deputy Director Shepard, can you just add a little piece of clarity that, if I remember correctly, that's half the cost of a typical school?
Correct. Actually, our school applications are anywhere from $600 to $1,000. An eyelash training program, the legislation says that it needs to be 30 hours of a board-approved training. So there is cost for our staff time to be able to go through the documentation. And we have added into our rules what that documentation will be, the equipment that will be needed to be able to do that training. So we are very clear. So to be able to also recoup the time that we are spending in approving those board training programs, we assess that $250 would be reasonable. Any questions?
So we don't have a balance training program yet.
Correct. So with our new legislation, and we have a couple of different bills, I don't believe Director McGalley updated with that. Those go into effect 90 days after the close of the legislative period. It has not yet closed for this year. So we expect that to happen mid to end of next month. So we will then have 90 days to put that into practice. However, since that's new legislation that we're responsible for, we did want to add that clarification to our administrative code now. So payment of fees, we in the past accepted credit cards, money orders, cashier's check. We did update that to include debit cards. And on the request of our schools in particular and some of our establishments, they requested that we would accept business checks. And so we were happy to do that to accommodate. We did, however, eliminate acceptance of personal checks, and the reason for that is we had so many returns of checks due to insufficient funds, which caused a lot of issues or time in terms of what we were doing on our end for business and finance.
Okay.
Again, somebody, if they don't have a credit card, we have had people say, I don't own a credit card, I don't have that, I don't have a debit card, they can still submit a money order or a cashier's check. Continuing with Article 1 in general provisions, time frame. So there is an overall time frame that needs to be defined by every board for what we call administrative review and substantive review. So when we get an application, we have anywhere from 28 days for, I believe, on the barbering side to almost up to 90 days to look at an application and say, do we have all the documentation that we need? We then respond to the applicant, and then our substantive review means once we have all of that documentation that we have time to license them. We actually have up to over 90 days to complete an application. Our goal, as you can see from our leadership, is to do that as soon as possible because we know that people are trying to get into business. However, we did need to keep those time frames separate under our statute because those are defined by statute at this point. However, we are exceeding those in an amazing way, so we will keep those the same. There was a time frame in which incomplete applications needed to reapply. Since we are now going to be doing all of our applications online, by the end of this year, so barbering can already do that, can already apply through our Salesforce platform that we're using. On the cosmetology side, we did put that on our website. However, we plan to be moving that into our new database system. We are reducing the 180 days to 90 days, meaning instead of 6 months to get us the documentation back before you have to reapply, we are reducing that to 90 days because it will all be online and in addition to what it is that we're looking for. We also assume that this will help us get a faster response from our applicants. Display of license, registrations, and signs have all been combined. That includes our establishments and our schools. There's no real big change there other than it's going to be the same across the board. However, we are reducing the no more wallet-sized licenses. I don't want to go into any promises at this point, but there will be some possibility of doing that more electronically in the future versus having a literal wallet size card license. So that'll be more electronic.
And that was a cosmetology item. I don't believe that was on the barber side. Or the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, other way around.
Infection control and safety standards have been combined. There's really not anything new there. It's just one set of infection control and safety standards. Our establishment and school management rules were combined. We did add that any establishment or schools already have this, but any establishment that is closing needs to notify the board within 10 days of closing. We do have a form on our website that is easy to complete to let us know. However, that is not something we had in the rules. We already had a case this morning where somebody closed. A lot of our consumers are not aware that they need to notify us when they're closing an establishment. So we've added that. The right to inspect any of our establishments has been combined. That does include, at the same time, any establishment that is operating that is not licensed with us, has never been licensed with us. This does give us the authority, and the statute had already given us the authority to go into the establishments, inspect them, and state that they need to be licensed with the board. We are actually finding more establishments out there that have never been licensed with the board. I believe we actually found at least three establishments on one road within Phoenix, probably within a couple of miles of each other and the same owner. Recently. And what's called a rehearing or a review of a board decision, which is essentially an appeal of one of our licensees of any of our decisions. That's always been within our rules. That has not changed. That has just been combined. Article 2, personal licensure or registration. Personal application by examination. We did have some differences in our application in terms of information required. We have combined this so that it will be the same across the board, no matter what discipline. Again, that's showing us that you have at least 2 years experience, the age requirement. There's some attestations. Again, nothing that was major. I would tell you, I promise you, I will tell you if there were any major changes to our rules. I will say overall, probably on the barber side, there might be some information requested that has not been requested before. But again, it's nothing unreasonable, and it's nothing that would prevent anybody from being licensed who isn't licensed now. So maybe some additional questions, no new real requirements that we're adding to anybody. The same for our renewals. So we're doing one application across the disciplines, reactivation, same for the application. There was a difference between the barbers and the cosmetology side in terms of when a reactivation is required, meaning somebody has let their license lapse. On one side, I believe we had 10 years on the cosmetology side. They had 10 years before when they renew, they were just paying a renewal fee and a delinquency fee. On the barbering side, it was 5 years. We decided to make it consistent across the board that 5 years made more sense, that if somebody had let their license lapse for 5 years and they're no longer doing business, they would just need to reapply to us with a brand new application to be licensed instead of saying, okay, you're just going to renew and pay your delinquency fee.
Let's say they did last over 5 years. What are the requirements for that individual? Is it from the beginning?
It would be like a brand new personal license. So they wouldn't necessarily need to re-examine. However, they would just need to prove to us that they have their schooling.
Okay,
right?
So as long as they have the evidence that they went to school.
Yes.
They would re-examine. They wouldn't go back to school.
Oh.
So you don't have to go to school. You spend
you
hours
school.
On Steele County. You
yes.
just retest.
You right. would retest.
Yes.
Instructor licenses remain the same or remain separate because of statute. So there are two new changes within legislation that just passed in the last legislative session. One is that student instructors can now be paid. That was very unclear before because we said students could not be paid. Instructors could be paid. So people were very confused around whether student instructors could be paid. That has now been clarified within this legislation, so student instructors can be paid as an employee of the school. For an instructor reciprocity license application, it has now been codified that an instructor from another state must now also have 1 year's experience as an instructor. So we're making those changes within our rules as well to make sure that we're consistent. Another addition for consistency's sake is that for the barber instructor, we would now require a 350 hours of instructor training. In the past, that's just been 2 years of experience or that 3,000 hours. However, all other instructor types are required to have 350 hours to learn how to be an instructor. So for the sake of consistency, we've made that true across the board.
And on the one that highlighted, the barbers would be included in that also.
Correct. So the barber instructor with 1 year experience, thank you so much. We had changed. It used to be 2 years experience. It will now just be 350 hours and 1 year experience. And because of the new legislation for personal licensure, it's not actually in our legislation. We were told that an eyelash technician will not be a license. It will be a registration. So we've added that capacity for an eyelash technician registration.
And we decide how that will be presented.
Yes. How we're going to read.
Yeah, if someone becomes an eyelash tech, do they get a separate paper? Do they put
it on? They will get, it will essentially be just like a license, but it will say a registration. It will be due every 2 years on their birthday. It will function the same as a license, but it'll be a registration, that application fee. Now, there is provision within the legislation. If somebody is already a cosmetologist or an esthetician before that date of kind of go live and they're doing eyelash, they will essentially, the legislation didn't use this terminology, be grandfathered in terms that they have the training. They will have to apply with us as an eyelash technician. So even though a cosmetologist may already be doing these services, they will still need to register with us as an eyelash technician. It just means that they don't have to prove to us the training because they've already had the training.
And won't that period be limited?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that a limited period for that application?
I mean, no, it is not limited. There's no limitation in the statutory
language. Once the legislation goes forward, they will be required to have the 30 hours of board-approved training.
Right. But that grandfathering thing, is there a limited time for that, or is that if someone 3 years from now says, yeah, I was always doing eyelashes, I just...
It's as long as they can prove their licensure with us.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So
if they can prove their licensure to us up to the point of the date that the statute takes effect, they'll be grandfathered.
The things they needed to get grandfathered in would have to have happened before the law took effect.
Correct.
They would have to be, basically, they'd have to be licensed with us, yes.
They'd have to be licensed with us, but... I'm an esthetician. So as an esthetician, if this law goes into effect in January, if 2 years from now I say, you know what, I forgot to tell you I was an eyelash tech, then do you go back all that time, or is there a time period that has to be completely set?
I believe it actually says once the law goes into effect, they have to have the 30 hours of board approved training.
We can look at it and get clarity, but that's not my interpretation.
I get asked that. We need to clarify that.
There's not an application.
There's not a grandfather time period in the statute.
Okay.
So, I mean, organizationally, we may need to make some decisions around what that period of time is, but we're not at that place yet. The statute
Razor went into place. There was a 30-day period that you had to say, this is who I am, so that you could be included, because after that, then everybody was treated the same. So I just assume we are doing something similar.
The way this statute is written is that basically it says if you're up to the date of, I don't want to get necessarily into details.
We don't want to get wrong.
But it didn't talk about a grandfather period. It talked about up to this point,
which we're
you would be grandfathered.
That's what we're, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just like some more clarification around that too. And how do the information get out when things like this, all the people doing lashes now?
We already have a communication plan, and we will put it on our website, as well as we will send an email to all of our personal licensees, who are, especially those who are cosmetologists and estheticians, about this change in the legislation and what would need to happen. Great question.
And just to add one clarifying point on that is we can't do it yet because the statute hasn't taken effect.
Yeah.
And we don't know when the statute's going to take effect. And we find ourselves in this limbo period that we certainly didn't expect to be in July. This is actually unprecedented for the legislative session to still be in, for the legislature to still be in session at this point in the year. They're usually always done by June 30th. And they're in recess until August 8th, I believe it is. So we still have several more weeks before they even come back to start their final discussions to then end the legislative session. So it's really a weird dynamic that we've never experienced, at least not in the last 20 years.
So another question. So as far as like a barber, let's say he was an eyelash technician as well,
you'll have to have barber license and eyelash registration.
Correct. Correct. Now, we are aware that there are several programs within Arizona that do provide eyelash training. However, in our brief research, I won't say it's extensive, there are many programs that are maybe only 16 hours. So I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of questions. And perhaps even once our inspectors, investigators start going out with these new establishments, and looking at what's happening, they may not have the required training. So that may be issues that come up before the board. So we will make it clear to people that although you may have had training in the past, it may not be the required hour requirement for training. Article 3, for schools, the eyelash technology training program. The school licensure application is being combined. There are separate bond requirements for schools at this time. As I understand it, on the cosmetology kind of side of the house, that bond requirement is $10,000. On the barbering side of the house, it's a $25,000 bond. So we will address that once we get to statute changes. The renewal application for schools is combined. Notification and closure requirements is combined. There are some things that we have eliminated, added, or changed in terms of school records. One of them is that we have eliminated the requirement, this is what we're proposing, to send school records to the boards monthly. That remains that every school will still need to keep monthly records. Our investigators, when they go to the schools, can randomly sample any monthly reports. So the reporting requirements, the only thing that would change for schools is that they wouldn't have to send them to the board on a monthly basis. However, if a school were to close, they would have to send us an electronic file, all of the school records, so that we have that in case a student ever came back to us and needed proof of their schooling. We have eliminated the need for a student signature to verify approval of certified hours. We have added a certificate of graduation, and we changed a little bit certification of hours. So one of the things in our application process for schools, we've asked in the past, I don't believe it's been on the barbering side, that there is some kind of proof of what school you went to, that you've completed all of your hours, we have a school signature, that type of thing. Before we've said, tell us what school you went to and that you've passed it. We're making across the board, it just has to be a certificate. We have the school name, we have the student names, we have the hours completed, the program that they were in, and that it's signed by a school administrative representative. It's essentially a certificate, a diploma, whatever you want to call it. So now that's the only thing that the students need to, if they're first applying after they pass their exam. We have that certification of graduation. It's the same across the board. We know that you have graduated from an Arizona licensed school for us to do that. Certification of hours is for both a withdrawal or a transfer. So if a student withdraws from a school or wants to transfer out of the school, they also have a documentation of what hours they have completed. So if the new school accepts them, the new school can certify that those hours have been completed and what courses have been completed. So it's clear for everybody's sake. General school requirements are combined, and then we added the requirements for the board-approved eyelash technician training. Again, minimum equipment, restrooms, sanitation, some of the basic things that we have for any kind of school or training program. Article 4 is for establishment. Again, those establishment changes are combined. So if you are going to move, one of the things that we do in Arizona is we license by physical address. So you need, if you're going to move from a physical location to another one, there needs to be an application change of physical address that needs to happen. If somebody is in a salon suite situation, where they're just renting a suite and they're just changing suites within that physical location, it'll just be a suite change. We don't need a whole new application. Establishment applications have been combined, as we discussed earlier with the board, and I believe you are all in support of. We are removing the requirement for a Secretary of State trade name. It's a great business practice. We would encourage every business establishment to go through that for themselves. However, since we license on a physical address, there is no confusion to us as to who is being licensed. So if somebody had the same name, so for some reason, Marshall's Barbershop, three different locations have that name, and there's three different Marshalls who are owners, we won't be confused because we know those physical locations are licensed. We don't need to require that you have that trade name. It's protection for the business. We don't feel like it's our business focused on public health and safety to have that be a requirement. Establishment minimum equipment is combined, the renewal application, and the fact that every establishment needs to have supervision or a manager has been combined. That's really it. Again, I sent you two documents, or Frank did, when he sent out that email. One was with track changes so you could see exactly what was taken out, and a clean copy, because at least for me, that's much easier to read and understand, so that you could review that. Next up, today, you review that, give us our consensus, or if you feel comfortable to give us your approval to move forward with this. We will file a notice of rulemaking docket opening with the Secretary of State. Then it goes to a notice of proposed rulemaking with the Secretary of State. We will have a date, and once we know that, it will be publicized both through email and on our website of when oral proceedings basically take place for public comment. Then we submit our proposed rule changes to the policy advisor at the governor's office. We file a notice of final rulemaking to the governor's regulatory review council. If they need to talk to us in person or if they have questions, we appear before them to address any of that. And then after that council approves that, the Secretary of State would make that effective within 60 days. So we don't have a firm timeline of when these rules would come into place. It really depends on when we can get on the docket. So with that, that's the end of my presentation, unless you have any questions, comments.
No, it's a lot of good changes.
One that I can probably look up, but with the manager on duty when the inspector shows up, does that have to be elected?
It does not. We changed that. In the past, there was some question about whether that needed to be licensed. We had a lot of internal discussion. We decided that would be up to the establishment owner, whether they would require that person to be licensed or not. Obviously, that manager would have to be familiar with statutes and rules. However, we are not requiring them to be licensed.
And it just has to be someone on site.
Yep. Questions?
Good.
Comments?
No, a lot of good work.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I have a question about the inspector license page.
Sir, yeah. You would have to wait till the public comment period, but we would, that's okay. But we would be happy to hear it at the public comment.
Great. Thank you very much for that. That was a huge event, and that we do need to have that public period, which we will have, because there are a few things in our assault.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So that brings us to number 10.
Actually, just to remember, of course, is there
consensus?
Oh, we're voting now. All right, I move that we accept the proposed rule changes that we would move forward on developing this plan to institute.
Thank you. Motion
is that adequate?
Can we clarify the motion to direct staff to open the docket with?
Oh. Okay, and I add to that we direct the staff to open the docket and do the things they put on the board that was pointed.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Thank you. Unanimously, we agree that you need to get this to go.
Thank you.
And then number 10. read this. It says, those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit these persons, those persons, speaking during this time, the reasonable number of any given public mass. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so, pursuant to ARS 38431.01. The board can only take action on matters listed on the agenda. Action on public comment matters that are not listed on the agenda will be limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule a matter for future discussion. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board today? Yes, ma'am. Would you identify yourself? Please state your name.
My name is Dorina White Corral. I'm the person that applied for the instructor's license for barbering. I do want to first share a little bit of my history. I have been licensed as a cosmetologist for over 20 years. I was licensed in the state of Arizona along with Michigan. I am also a licensed instructor, both state of Michigan and Arizona. Been an instructor for 10 years. When I decided to make the transition into becoming a barber and then a barber instructor, one of the reasons is because I also teach patients. My son is very wishing to speak as well. And they are wanting to grow the barbering program. So that was a need. So I stepped up, I said, I will do. We went over thoroughly the laws and what I would need to do. At no point did we see we have to practice barbering as a licensed barber. I did also have it state in the rules. I did submit a letter from a barber, notarized letter, who said, yes, practice with me. I see this person as it stated in the rules. So we thought it was sufficient. We went along with it. I did my hours to become a barber, test it, did my what I needed to do in terms of testing for the instructors. So it's a little bit disheartening that I am being denied, but I guess that's where we are. I did want to speak on that, however, just simply because I'm not just a person that's coming in brand new, getting licensed as a barber, then turning around becoming an instructor. So I did want to
bring that to the board. Right. We appreciate that. Thank you. Just at the board, I'm Lisa Femchan, director. I give it for me as a location. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to consider this. We're a little disappointed that we are denied, but that's okay. And I just want to share with you, I'm really just having a struggle with finding barber instructors. We really want to grow our programs. We have a meeting with students. And the wonderful advantage that students have that come to our community is that they get to come to tuition free, which has given many, many students over the years an opportunity that they would never have because they don't have the means to go to a private school. Being that I have to turn barbering students away because they can't find those instructors out there, they may never be able to take on the opportunity now because of the financial cost there for them once they're built and graduating, go on to the private sector. So that was kind of my biggest reason that we were trying to figure out how we could make this work. We want to help increase the workforce. Barbering has really come back into full force, and it's very popular, and there's a huge demand out there. People that want to become barbers that were just really trying to accommodate. And so that's kind of the direction we were going in. I have an amazing barber instructor. I just would like to expand my program, and I would like to expand it to our other campuses as well because I get bombarded from parents and counselors from schools our sending districts requesting, hey, how can we get our students into barbering, and it's kind of at a standstill. So that's kind of, I just wanted to give you that little background too, that that's, we're really trying to work really hard to find barber instructors, so we can expand our program.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to address the board today?
Yes, sir. So,
My name is Bruce Crown. Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. I just want a little clarification on 32-323, the structured license application qualifications. It says an applicant who holds a valid instructor's license to instruct barber students issued by another state, which has an opinion of the board, license requirements which are substantially equivalent to the requirements of this state and which grant similar reciprocity privileges of barber licensed by this state and who has at least 1 year of experience as a licensed instructor is exempt from passing the examination. I believe that qualifies as me because my state doesn't have instructor licenses. We hold master barbers. So that gives you the, that allows you to either teach or instruct or apprenticeship, whichever you decide. So I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do to get my instructor license here in Arizona so that I can start, you know, instructing kids.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if I may, I'd love to help assist you outside of this meeting. This is not an agenda item, so we would love to help you and provide you some additional support outside of the meeting. So if you'd like to send me an email, we can certainly talk about that and figure out if you meet the requirements and if you license that.
I meet them. I mean, I read everything.
Please can discuss that outside the meeting.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah, once you know that, I'd be interested to know what state that is.
There's actually quite a few of them.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Is there anyone else who'd like to address court? All right. That was interesting. I appreciate the comments. It's this industry has become more complex. We're working to consolidate. We're working to, I can't say simplify, but we're certainly trying to master this. These are growing industries. They're changing. And we need the comments from the people who are experiencing these changes to understand how to help it to get to the position it needs to go to. So these public comments are a good addition. It helps us a great deal. So we are now up to what I'd like to say is my favorite part of every meeting. Graham, if you'd like, you can make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second. So a motion and a second. All in favor, say amen. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, great. Unanimously, we're out of here.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.